This is the podcast from Connection Community Church for this Sunday, September 18th, 2011. Tough questions. God, why did you make me this way?
Yeah, that's our focus this morning. God, why did you make me this way? As we continue our series, Tough Questions.
Good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with us, please? God, we do say good morning. It's wonderful to worship and praise your name, give glory to you this morning, and to consider who am I? As we ask the question, God, why did you make me this way? Open our hearts, Lord, that we might hear your word and be changed and transformed by it. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. And all of Connection Church said, Amen. God, why? Why did you make me this way? That's a common question that's asked. Now, maybe we didn't say, why'd you make me so good looking? But it could be quite the opposite. Why did you make me ugly? Why did you make me unattractive? Why am I so short, God? God, why did you make me this way? Why did you make me so tall? Why did you give me curly hair? Why did you give me straight hair? Why did you give me gray hair? Thank you for Clairol. Anyway, I admit it shamelessly. So why did you give me this big birthmark? God, why? Why do I have so many freckles? God, why did you make me this way?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what's going on? You know, it's like there's some kind of a normal someplace out there. And the further we get from it, the more we're likely to ask the question, God, why did you make me this way? You know, if normal is Hollywood-type beauty, and the further we feel that we are from that, we might say, God, why did you make me this way? Or if there is a freckle norm or a curly straight hair. You ever notice how everybody with straight hair wants theirs to be curly? Everybody curly wants to be, you know, that's so interesting. God, why did you give me the kind of hair? The further we get, the more we ask the question. If there's a height norm, you know, the further we get from it, the more likely to ask. Let's say you're a guy and you're 4'11 here in the United States, where the average height is like 5'10. You know, you might ask God, why did you make me that way? You would never ask that question if you were part of a pygmy tribe in Central Africa, because you would be right there at the norm. You're 4'11 just like everybody around you. You'd never say, God, why did you make me this way?
The question, though, gets a lot more intense when it's not just that we're outside of the norm range, whatever that is, of height or weight or whatever, but when somebody has physical challenges, for example, especially when those challenges are severe, when someone is born unable to see or unable to hear, God, why did you make me this way? When someone has trouble using their arms or their legs, when it's challenging, when other people have such ease at things, God, why did you make me this way?
Or maybe if you're someone, like maybe you have learning challenges, maybe aspects of school are difficult. Maybe it's because of, let's say, dyslexia, or maybe it's ADD or ADHD, or one of just, you know, so many things that make school maybe a challenge, maybe even a nightmare at times. And it might cause you or someone you know to ask the question, God, why did you make me this way?
We did a Google search, we often do every week, and we put in, why did God make me this way? That's what we entered in the search. And there was one entry that popped up that was absolutely heartbreaking. And it brought forth one of the greatest challenges that the church faces when we discuss this particular question. Here's what someone wrote to someone who has a religion blog. Dear John, thanks for your reply. Some background. I was raised in a Southern Baptist household in a small rural town in Pennsylvania. As a gay youth, I was ostracized from just about every social venue. And not just ostracized, but persecuted. I became the subject of ridicule and of verbal and physical abuse, from the schoolyard to my home life, including from my immediate family. There are many things a human can tolerate, but when your immediate family, your support system, pulls the rug out from under you, it is so much more than a feeling of being punched in the gut. You cannot imagine the overwhelming sense of loss and pain, and then inward hatred that this creates. I recall as a child of 13 crying hysterically and asking God, why did you make me this way? Why did you give me this life? Why would you create something only to see it tortured and destroyed? This young man goes on to write more about how he was persecuted, not only outside in the world, but inside his own household as well.
He brings up a tough question, and our challenge is that we're called to love everybody, aren't we? We're called to love everybody. Maybe not everyone's behavior, but we're called to love the person. And this guy didn't sound like he got much love, does it? And that's a challenge there. And, you know, and the challenge also is we believe that homosexual behavior is contrary to Scripture and therefore wrong. Just as any sexual sin is, premarital sex, sex outside of marriage, extramarital sex, pornography, all those things. That being said, what a challenge it must be for someone, especially someone at a very young age, like this young man in this letter, who feels he was created this way and wonders why God would do that.
And the thing is, even if we come to the conclusion that someone was made that way, whatever way, it doesn't give us license for certain behaviors. In other words, we can't say, God, you made me this way, so this is how I am. God designed humans for a desire for sexual intimacy. But that doesn't make it okay to practice that outside of God's will, whether it's premarital sex, extramarital relationships. God has some of us wired in ways that falling into certain habits and hang-ups, addiction, is in us. I know a little bit about this, but that doesn't give us license to go and to act on a desire to look in places we're not supposed to look or drink when we're not supposed. But the question comes back to, God, why did you make me this way?
Yeah, God, why did you make me this way? You know, when we really think about it, I think if each of us really search, we'd realize that each of us has some condition, some situation, some limitation, some hurt habit, hang up, some addiction, something that causes us at some time or another to ask this question. You know, and some of these things are much more severe than others. Some are much more challenging. Some more life adjusting, changing, altering, whatever you might want to call it, than others. But just the same, I think each of us has something in us that at one time or another causes us to ask the question, God, why did you make me this way? And you know, there's not a real easy answer to that question, is there? That's That's why it's included in this series called Tough Questions, because there's not a simple, easy answer to that question.
There are three scriptures that we'd like to lift up to you today. The first one is one that some of you might be familiar with, but it certainly bears repeating. It's Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
This psalm reminds us that contrary to what some science people would want us to believe, we are not just a random combination of amino acids and cells, and that coincidentally over billions of years came to be this. No, God crafted each and every one of us. God knit us together in our mother's womb. And the bottom line is this, none of us, not a one of us, is a mistake. I've heard, you know, parents say, oh, he was a mistake. Now, maybe you thought so, but God sure didn't think so when God knit that person together. And God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make junk. And God created each of us for a purpose. And we'll say that again, God created each of us for a purpose. And that's a challenge, because part of our quest, I think, in life is to know God's purpose for us. But sometimes we're not fully aware of God's purpose. Sometimes it's kind of beyond us to completely know what God's purpose for creating us is. And that's part of our challenge, because we may know God's purpose, or we may not, or we may not fully know. And that brings us to the next scripture.
Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
I find it amusing how often we, and I'll say me in this case, think that we should be able to figure God out. Don't you find that kind of funny when you really think about it? This God who is the author of everything, and I'm trying to figure God out with my pea-sized brain. That's a hoot, isn't it? And even more of a hoot is how we like to be in charge. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, because I know some would have them down and they really should be up. But inside, just say, amen. When I say, doesn't know you at one time or another like to be in charge.
Amen.
Even to the point where we like to know, God, why do you do this and why don't you do that? And I'm expecting an answer. We expect God to give us the answer. And we have a real problem at times when either he doesn't or we don't understand why God does what God does. Like, why, God, did you create me the way you did? Explain it to me. Yeah. And here it is. And this, on the one hand, you might say, oh, that's a cop-out. No, it's not a cop-out. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen? And God's ways are not our ways. Thank you, Lord. Can you imagine if God's ways were our ways? Or if God did things the way we told God to do them? Oh, my goodness. What a mess. It's not up to God to explain God's self to us. It's not up to God to explain us why things are the way they are. And that doesn't mean we can't wonder, we can't speculate. You know, God gave us a brain and a questioning way about us. It doesn't mean that we can't even suggest a reason or two for why things are like they are. But here's the thing, God has the big picture, and none of us do. None of us does. Not a one of us can see the big picture like God does. And that brings us to the next scripture, John 9, 1 through 3. As he went along, this is Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him."
In Jesus' day, it was believed that sin was the reason for infirmities. Thus, this question that we see was this blind guy, was this guy blind because of his sin or the sins of his parents? Well, Jesus points out that this man was not blind because of sin, but because the works of God could be displayed in him. But this happened, say it with me, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so we have to say, do you mean that God made this man blind from birth and allowed him to go through his life day in and day out blind up to this point so that God's work could be displayed in him? Well, it looks like that's what that says, doesn't it? Wow. It looks like God does some things so that God's glory can be shown through Christ.
Is that selfish on God's part? I don't think so, if it means that people will come to know God through Christ as a result. Here's the thing, you know, you can read the Bible, we can read the Bible cover to cover, and you're not going to find where God says that the plan is for each of us to have a comfortable, easy, no-challenge life. It ain't in there! What's not? Just want to make sure you got that.
I got it. I'm glad these monitors weren't on, Murray, because I would have been blown out.
Whew. Let me do it this way. It's not in there. In fact, Jesus said if you follow him, life's going to be tough, not easy or comfortable. What you do find in Scripture is this, and it's a thread that runs throughout from the first word in Genesis to the last word in Revelation, is that God's desire for each of us is to be in relationship with God. That's the thread. That God loves each and every one of us so much that God wants to spend eternity with us. Can you imagine God wanting to spend eternity with me or you? But he does. Incredible. That's the plan. Now, if that's the plan, don't you think that God will do all that God can do in order to make that happen? Only makes sense, doesn't it? Even if what it takes for that to happen is to challenge you and to challenge me in ways that might even be a little bit painful or difficult. And apparently it means that sometimes God will give me the challenges in order for me to see God at work. But then sometimes God will give me the challenges so that you can see God at work. Sometimes God will give all of us the challenges so that we can see Jesus, but also so that we can allow us to be Jesus for one another. You know, fair or unfair as it may seem, it seems to be the way God does it, doesn't it? From what we see and what we read.
And we can argue, and we can shake our fists, and we can say, "God, it isn't fair." And at the end of the day, God is still God, and God will do what God will do. God is God. We are not. And through it all, we are called to be faithful followers of the God who created us. It is really easy to be a faithful follower when things are going smooth and well, isn't it? But when life throws us challenges, curveballs, when we're wired certain ways, when we have physical challenges, when we struggle with addictions and hang-ups and all kinds of stuff, and we have to keep walking it out, it's called exercising our faith. That's what we need to do. Exercise our faith. That's discipline. God just wants us to keep walking close, and God will guide us every step of the way. And challenges happen, and we struggle with things, just as Paul, the Apostle Paul, and we've read about that thorn in Paul's side, don't know what that was, but he lived with a challenge. But we're challenged by God at times to bless others or to receive a blessing.
And you know, especially when God does something in or through me that's challenging in order to bless others, we think, how could God do that? Why is he making my life tough for you? And again, it's because we don't get to see the big picture, do we? But God does, and God can use these challenges in ways that we can't even imagine. I want to share a story with you. It's a story I may have shared before. If I did, I apologize, but I don't, because it's a great story, and it's true. Our second daughter, Megan, we were moving her. I don't think she was a freshman. We were moving her into college, up in the dorm. And as we're moving her in, we run into the daughter of the woman who was the daycare provider for our kids. And, you know, hey, Shelly, you know. And then we meet Shelly's roommate. Now, Shelly's roommate's getting out of this nice Pontiac, like Trans Am. She had a little trouble getting out. When she finally got out, I could see why. Her body was, let's just say it was a challenge for her to walk. Her arms and stuff were kind of disproportioned and not even fully developed. And I wondered how she could even drive, but she obviously could. And when I saw her, I remembered who she was. And I went in my mind back 18 years. My good friend Jimbo had a friend who worked with his wife at the hospital, and she was pregnant, and the doctors and everybody she knew said, you've got to get an abortion, because this child isn't going to survive, and if the child does, oh my goodness, it's going to be an absolute nightmare. There's no way this child will have even close to a normal life, let alone you. But she was a Christ follower. And see, sometimes that really messes things up when it comes time to make these kind of decisions. And she said, no, I'm going to have the child. Contrary to all the advice, and she had the child, and sure enough, there were challenges. At times they wondered if the child would even live. Lots of operations, you can imagine. Just oodles of challenge. Yet, 18 years later, there she is, getting out of the Pontiac trailer, starting college. I don't even know how she got up the steps in the dorm, but she did. Wow. Unbelievable. Let's go ahead a few years. Shelly's getting married. Wow, and it was a great reception, by the way. But anyway, we're in the church. And her best friend, her roommate, is one of her bridesmaids. Wow. And then we meet her husband. Tall, good-looking, strong, strapping young man. And you go, isn't that incredible? Isn't that just absolutely incredible? Because normally you don't see a strong, strapping young man with a girl with those kind of challenges. And yet, look at what God did with those two. She's a person who I would think had as much reason as anybody to say, God, why did you make me this way? But we had the opportunity to see why. Because through her, God has been glorified over and over and over again. And we get to see God's strength and God's power and what God is capable of when we are faithful and we say, God, I don't know the big picture, but you do. Give me the strength and the courage to do what's right and to do what you're calling me to do. Amen. Amen.
God, why? Why did you make me this way? Well, it could just be to bring us closer to Him or to bring others closer. Some of us in this room probably ask that question more than others. And I can tell you that you are a light and you reflect Jesus. And there's a purpose and a plan for every single one of you. God loves you. Let's be the light of Christ to one another and support one another as we continue to grapple with tough questions. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, God, we do say why about a lot of different things. And one of the most common questions is, why did you make me this way? Short, tall, curly hair, straight hair, heavy, thin, wanting to do this or wanting to do that, having a leaning this way or that way. Lord, why? God, we know that you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us, that we have been created with a God-shaped hole that as we grapple with these questions, you can only fill that. We try to fill it in a lot of different ways. Lord, thank you that you have your hand on each person in this room and on the planet, whether we claim you or not, and that you never have us out of your grip. We thank you for this day and for all days. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for our podcast. For more information about Connection Community Church in Middletown, Delaware, please visit our website at www.connectioncc.org. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the life that He offers.